This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
I mean, I would say off the top of my head, I think John Birdie's an option. Also in camp, Vidal Brujan, Nicky Lopez, the Rule 5 pick, Gage Workman. That's the rest of the group in camp.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is Craig Counsell differentiating about the group in camp and then the imaginary signings.
That was Craig Counsell basically going through the third base committee.
That's right.
The third base committee includes John Birdie, Nicky Lopez, Gage Workman, and possibly Matt Shaw.
The committee to field, to field the ball.
Yes.
At third base.
The committee needs a chairman.
Mm-hmm.
And Alex Bregman, I nominate to be the chairman. They can afford him. They need to persuade him and then sign him and then bat him fourth and play him at third base 140 times this year. You want to get to 90 victories, Craig Counsell, Jed Hoyer, Carter Hawkins? That's how you do it. That's a good step in that direction. Alex Bregman now is down to, what's the latest report? Tell me, please. What is the latest on Alex Bregman?
He's apparently leaving Houston. This is the latest report. Houston, there were all these rumors over the weekend that they were getting back in it. Apparently, he really is going to leave Houston, and it's down to, well, let's listen.
What's the latest on Alex Bregman? All I remember is standing offer from the Houston Astros. Tigers are interested, maybe a little bit of Jays, maybe a little bit of Cubs. What do we got on Breggy?
Everything you just said is pretty much still standing, except for the Astros. I mean, I know there's still a very small chance that he could wind up back in Houston, but they've essentially moved on when they acquired Isak Paredes and Christian Walker. You know, they have to really juggle some pieces around to make Alex Bregman fit in that lineup at this point. And I don't think that that six-year offer that they had out to him earlier in the winter, I don't know that that's something they're still looking to do.
That is the voice of Mark Feinstein on the MLB Network.
Okay.
So he's telling you that he's what I just said, basically. Thanks for interrupting the program.
I did not interrupt the program.
Not you.
I was asking you.
Brandon Hart.
Yeah, well, Brandon definitely got some verification.
I was correct.
You were speculating. We got Mark Feinstein to confirm. Breggy is not going back to Houston. Breggy.
That is the latest that we've heard.
Now,
is Breggy out?
I think the yesterday's report from Bob Nightingale, I believe, was that the Cubs were offering 3 years. Detroit and Boston were offering four.
That's right.
That could be interpreted a couple different ways.
He wants six.
He wants six, but you also, the key is in the opt-out. The key is in the, maybe the money up front. And the Cubs be in a position to...
They're giving him the opt-out. Every year of the deal would be an opt-out.
Yeah. And I think that's understandable. These are creatively structured deals these days. You don't know the details until somebody signs. The reports are hard to keep track of because, you know, what is the difference between a six-year offer and a three-year offer and the opt-outs? You could have a six-year offer with opt-outs. The bottom line is Alex Bregman's going to have to make a decision that I think is related to, number one, what pays him the best and gives him the most flexibility contractually. Number two, the best chance to win. I would think that would matter.
He'll follow the beat of his own drum and go where he wants, which means he'll wind up in Detroit. See, that's mean. Why do you have to levy those charges, Mr. Davis?
I did not say anything about Alex Bregman's past with the Astros and how that would relate to his preference for A.J. Hinch and any kind of drumbeat they may hear together in Detroit.
You didn't say it out loud.
I didn't say it out
loud. That's what you implied.
The Cubs are a different team with Alex Bregman than they would be without him in terms of projection, in terms of expectation. Maybe they wouldn't have any different result. Maybe Matt Shaw is going to be the rookie of the year. I hope that happens. But I'm showing, for me, as you know, a little restraint here about a rookie in the lineup. I would rather see a veteran. I would rather see them delay the ascension and anointing of Matt Shaw.
I think Matt Shaw has done very well, and he is on a fast track. The projection of a guy that has how many games has he played in AAA? 35. Like, you just always wonder about
skipping a step. Yeah,
that's all.
You don't want to skip a step.
No, you don't want to skip a step. But at the same time, if he's ready to go, he's ready to go. And a lot of teams move guys quicker than the Cubs have.
Well, Matt Shaw's hit at every level, and I would be surprised just when you take a step back that we're going to see potentially Matt Shaw before we see Owen Casey.
Yep.
It's because Owen Casey has been blocked. Is Matt Shaw a more polished major league hitter at this stage, or is it just because Owen Casey is blocked? I don't know.
It's interesting that Isak Paredes was supposedly the guy that they had gone for that was going to be the one that would block him. And then they traded him to the Astros, which then makes it makes Bregman available, and yet they're moving at a different pace on Bregman than they had. And I'm not suggesting they should move faster. I think you take advantage of a player's availability.
You're right. Paredes was kind of a misread,
yeah,
miscalculation. It was more about, I think, the bad fit they felt Morrell was than maybe how Paredes figured it or didn't fit in.
The bad fit he was.
He was a bad fit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now they don't have a third baseman in camp that played an inning for them last year at the position. So that's interesting. And I think now you look at John Birdie and Nicky Lopez and Workman, and you, nothing about, with fairness to them, Brujan, nothing about their presence in the lineup makes you feel like you're content with what you have. You want more. You want better. You want a veteran. That's proven.
What did you think of Craig Counsell talking about Nico Hoerner trying to zero in on being able to play shortstop?
To play shortstop?
Yeah, no, he just as a backup type of
right.
role. He was basically saying, what did he say yesterday? He said that they felt something that he wants to do, and that they were, you know.
Well, that's smart because Nico can play shortstop. He played an entire season there, and
yeah,
I think he's better than average. But I don't know that I'm too concerned about the backup to Dansby Swanson. I'm as concerned about Nico Hoerner's health as anybody in camp. What's his availability? Will he be able to start the season in a month, a little over a month? Cubs are going to be, in 6 weeks, they'll be playing games that matter.
Oh, I know.
That's really going to be here before you know it.
Yeah, it's quick, and the turnaround's pretty quick. And Dustin, God bless him, and I don't mean this as any question of what you would ever report, but he keeps saying that the White Sox report on February 12th. Today's February 11th. The White Sox report tomorrow. The White Sox report on Wednesday would have been the way to word it earlier.
It's not factually inaccurate, though.
But do we always call tomorrow February 12th?
I like to be a little more formal in my...
It's very formal.
I will talk to you on February 12th.
Yeah.
I'll be here tomorrow.
He's using the Usted form of... of Espanol.
Well, feel free. You write it. I'll read it.
I'm trying to help. I'm just saying.
I'm confused. I don't. So please, let's expand. Can you amplify on that? It's a great Czech topic, would say, because I'm not getting it. What's the problem? It's factually
accurate. No problem. But it's very formal to
say. There's a difference,
12th.
Believe it or not. And you're.
Yes.
You are and were an awesome writer. As I've told you, I used to read you in the Sun Times, carried around in high school.
When you were in grammar school.
That was my textbook.
Ross Tucker always says that.
Yeah.
Point being, there's a difference between writing for the newspaper and writing for radio.
Okay.
There's a big difference.
And television.
I don't know anything about that, but I do know about it. I will at least say this. There aren't many things you can compliment me or be willing to. I do know just a tiny little thing about this, the radio part.
Mr. Rhodes says that radio is more formal than newspaper writing.
Mr. Rhodes isn't wrong.
A difference in writing for radio and there is for print.
I'm merely saying, I just wanted to say that the White Sox report tomorrow, February 12th, and that they will be playing a game against the Cubs in short order.
On the 22nd.
That's when they open their...
I need to say what day of the week that is.
How about a week from Saturday?
Is that better?
Yeah. How about that? The Cubs are going to be playing the Sox a week from Saturday.
Yeah, I no longer...
Hold on, I'm editing that right now.
Yeah.
I know the 22nd is a Saturday, that's all.
How do you know that so well?
I don't know. I have a calendar in my head. I just know these days. So
tomorrow is Wednesday.
Yeah, I know.
And then 10 days would be a Saturday. Okay. Look at Mr.
I'll email this script to you tonight.
Back to baseball, instead of this semantic battle that you guys like to wage sometimes. I do think that Justin Turner as a plan B to Alex Bregman doesn't bother me as much as I thought that it would. I don't think I want to settle for them not getting Alex Bregman, but I do think I like the idea or would prefer the Justin Turner starting opening day at third base.
At 40 years old.
At 40 years old.
Could he? I mean, how? And I'm not joking about
I don't hate
this,
the idea.
But I mean, he's kind of a part-time player at this point in his career. Do we agree on that? How many days a week could he start?
Well, probably 4 to 5, I would think.
Initially?
You have the guys that Craig Counsell just ticked off, the committee, if you will.
He's upset them?
The committee does not, to me, represent an alternative. I don't want Matt Shaw to be sharing time with John Birdie, Nicky Lopez, and Gage Workman.
Yes.
But if they want to use those guys to supplement Justin Turner's
You don't mind third base by committee, provided there is one of those guys that you feel is a professional.
Yeah, like Justin Turner. Now, I could live with him, with these other guys backing him up, using him in different on occasion, giving him a rest. But I just feel like...
You just wonder if, you know, the third base position is a hitting position, mm-hmm. right? And you just wonder who among all the names you're mentioning can hit. Like, Gage Workman is a good fielding third baseman, not a good hitting third
baseman. Well, he hasn't been to this point.
Nicky Lopez is more of a fielding player than a real hitting player.
Yeah, he's a good glove guy.
John Birdie hits pretty good, right? He's a better hitter than fielder, is that right?
Yeah, his home runs are bye-bye Birdie.
Boy.
I think when you look at
David's practicing his call.
Turner, can I get in the mix?
You should. You should call.
I get in the mix?
Go to Mitch. Why don't you do more games? Have you always dreamed of it?
I need something else to do.
Yeah, you don't. You're kind of layabout.
Here's a reaction on the text line, which reflects, I think, what we're dealing with. 312, Turner could play third and back up Bush at first. I agree with that. 773, Turner isn't an everyday option at third. Maybe 2 years ago. 630, JT can play first to give Bush a rest against lefties. There's a divided, opinion.
And he could also DH.
He could DH. See, I think he's a valuable guy in the clubhouse, too. And for this team that has aspirations to contend this year, you need guys like that. I don't know if he would turn into a version of Trey Mancini, whose best days were behind him when he arrived in Chicago.
Right.
But I think it's worth a look if you don't get Alex Bregman. I love the idea of prospects playing big roles on winning teams. But I want this Cubs season not to be wasted. And I think that when you have the degree of uncertainty that they might have in the lineup every day, I think you're closer to wasting it than taking advantage. And I just want them to avoid that.
312-644-6767. Mitch is in Byron. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Good.
I'm not quite sure, not 100% sure, I guess, about the pushback or the reluctance to just give Matt Shaw the job right out of the gate. Doesn't he have the same pedigree that Chris Bryant had in 2015? And people couldn't wait to get Chris Bryant to the major leagues. And there was no reluctance whatsoever to give him the third base job. So I don't know why there's a reluctance or a pushback to give it to Shaw.
It's a good point, and it's a great question. I think Mully touched on it. At least my concerns would be Chris Bryant, I think, had a lot more at-bats in a season at AAA.
They made him stay down in the minor leagues when he wanted to.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that honestly created the problem later on in their relationship.
And even before that, he was at AAA the season prior.
Yeah.
And he got those at-bats because I think Theo believed, as a Cubs organization typically does, that you want to succeed at every level before you're promoted. And Matt Shaw has 35 games at Iowa.
Didn't they name a number? Didn't they have like a 200 at-bats or something? I thought that Theo had done that at one point.
Done the research and established
a
minimum,
that they needed,
a threshold?
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe that's no longer in play, but I think it would concern me slightly that in 35 games at Iowa, Matt Shaw hasn't removed the doubt just yet. Look, I can get behind a prospect and be as excited and over the top as anybody. I just think that when you have other prospects in your everyday lineup, you want to limit the exposure to Matt Shaw until you have to go to him.
You feel that that PCA has yet to kind of prove himself, although he improved at the end of the year.
He really did improve. I love everything about him.
Well as he played, good as he played last year, is still a little bit uncertain.
Same. I'm surprised at how many people have assumed about Michael Bush that he's arrived already.
Yeah.
Same with Miguel Amaya.
I think with Michael Bush, it's because he's like 26.
Yeah.
It has more to do with the age he is and the way he was blocked with the Dodgers than it has to do
probably
with,
Molly, but I think also it's one good year.
Yeah.
He's had one year, and I just don't know.
And Amaya, he's yet to arrive. That's a fair comment.
And that's why I think they went and got some veterans behind him.
Yeah.
Maybe he takes a step back. I hope he takes two steps forward, but I just don't know yet. And so when you have those uncertainties in your lineup already, if you want to be a 90-win team and you have a fourth unproven player in your lineup, I don't know that you're a 90-win team.
And we have a texter who says that unlike when Chris Bryant came up, the Cubs are not in prospect mode. They are more in a mode of win time.
Bingo. That's the best text on that. That's the best answer to that question.
Yes.
They're not in that mode. You are in a sense of urgency. You heard it from Jed Hoyer on Sunday. He doesn't have any degree of certainty beyond this season for his own job status.
Yes.
So they're going to be going for it this year. And I love that idea, which is why the Javier Assad news kind of
is tough.
It was like a punch in the gut or the oblique.
Right. A punch in the oblique. Yeah. There was some mean text about that.
There was, too.
Yeah. Amusing, but kind of mean-spirited.
Mean-spirited in taking a shot at Javier Assad's physique.
His fitness level.
Yeah. I don't think it has much to do with his fitness level.
How do you even find his oblique? Now, that's mean.
That's not nice. That's not nice at all. I'm concerned about the Cubs' pitching depth. I know they have some young guys, but
well, I let's talk about that for a second, because you're not looking for 9 innings out of a guy. You're not looking for even 7 innings out of a guy. You're looking for these young pitchers to be able to go 5 innings, right?
Yeah, okay.
And then they've added like 17,000 bullpen arms, so they're going to find the best of those and then hopefully be able to shuttle guys back and forth.
So you think I'm making too much about the Assad concern?
I think that's what Dustin is. He thinks that you're making too much about it because he's a fifth starter. And am I wrong? I don't want to put words in your mouth. How did you respond to that on February 11th?
No, I think it's going to be some time until they need that fifth starter. And I think Jordan Wicks is okay enough. And Ben Brown has the potential to be a future second starter probably with the Cubs, if not the back end of the bullpen guy.
Where are we with Jordan? Oh, not Jordan Wicks. You mentioned him. Cade Horton. Where are we with Cade Horton?
That's a great question. You know, I mean, he's awfully good.
He was on Inside the Clubhouse a couple weeks ago. We could ask Bruce about Cade Horton and how he might factor into the Cubs' plans if Javier Saad's injury lingers. Oblique strains, as we know from Seiya Suzuki's history, aren't things that just go away quickly.
No, they don't. That's the scariest thing about it, is that, you know, a guy can take – all you can do is take time off, and then you come back, and then the thing can bite you again, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's no quick fix for an oblique injury.
There is no quick fix. You just can't. And also, 616 points out one of the concerns about Matt Shaw. The reluctance is because Morrell was a flop and partially wrecked the season because he didn't come through in the way that you expected.
Hmm. That's interesting.
A little hesitant.
Do you think of him as a flop? I thought he was around for a few years.
I wanted him to be better.
I wanted him to be better, too. But I felt like he wasn't like a guy you brought up and flopped. It was a guy that was around and played for a couple of years and didn't make the step forward. They moved him into a position.
He exceeded expectations to the point where we came to count on him to be better.
Right.
And then he stopped progressing.
But I'm not sure that he was ever a third baseman, right?
That's the problem.
Yeah.
What is he then?
Well, that's...
designated hitter.
Kind of a utility guy, if you will.
That's a conundrum.
Outfielder. Yeah, no, he didn't have a specific position. All right, we've got Bruce next. We'll talk to him. We'll ask him, what is everything? Who are all these people? What do you expect? Mully and Haw on the Score.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Baseball.
Bruce Levine.
It's great to talk some baseball.
Score Baseball Insider, covering the Cubs and White Sox for more than 30 years.
Bruce Levine is a newsbreaker.
Inside the Clubhouse co-host.
Great being with you, talking baseball.
Bruce Levine.
That's a really good question, Bruce.
See, Bruce asked the first hard question.
With Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always fun to talk to our guy, Bruce Levine, especially when we can get him up and early, wake him up, ruin his life. He, of course, is in Arizona, and he joins us now on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. Hey, Bruce.
Hey, guys. What's going on? It's exciting to be here at spring training and ready to go. White Sox, Cubs. Obviously, you want to start with the Cubs.
Yeah, thanks for getting up early, Bruce.
Ah, that's what I get paid for, right?
So bring us up to date. What's the latest on Alex Bregman, and what do you make of all these reports about what he's seeking and what's being offered?
Well, you know, it's just what he's seeking is the best deal with the most money and the highest AAV, meaning the average salary. And he also would like to go to the team that he wants to go to. I don't know if he really wants to go to Boston or Detroit. We've always known that Chicago and New York were places that he wanted to go. He certainly wanted to go back to Houston. Now Scott Boras is trying to negotiate a deal that the best suits all those things. And, you know, it's a little bit of a quandary for him and for Alex right now, figuring out where he wants to go. So there are a lot of objectives that they're trying to fill right now. And the Cubs have been stealth about this for well over a month, maybe 4 or 5 weeks, waiting for this to come back to them. I don't know. I'll ask you guys this question. Would you give Alex Bregman 6 years and $180 million?
No.
No.
No, I don't think that fits with their timetable and what they want to get done. But I would definitely give him 3 years and whatever they allegedly have offered. I think here's the thing I'm trying to figure out, Bruce. Bob Nightingale reported yesterday or the day before that the Cubs have offered him 3 years. And we had heard there were some kind of back-channel reports that claimed they'd offered him 4 years. And Bob wrote that the Tigers and the Red Sox had offered 4 years, but the Cubs were offering 3 years. And they had all the opt-outs and all that other stuff. So If I'm him, I still might prefer a 3-year deal with all the opt-outs as opposed to a 4-year deal. And I would imagine that he wants to get the long-term deal. And if he has to wait a year and makes whatever, $30 million, whatever it might be, that'd be pretty good to get back on the market, to have a good year in Chicago. You would figure a couple of his teammates are here, and maybe he feels like he can, you know, come here to get that kind of Bellinger deal and get back on the market.
I agree with everything you said there, and it all makes sense. So the reporting on the 4-year deals is pretty accurate along the way. I think there was some thoughts that Detroit might have been offering more and that he was hesitating about Detroit. I don't know if that's true or not. Again, the Boras question to everybody is this: where does Alex Bregman go and not make them a much better contender for that division? Look at Detroit, look at Boston, look at Toronto, look at Houston, look at the Cubs. Does he not make all of those teams a more viable playoff team? And you know, again, it's a general question, but I think it's a very good question because I think all those teams agree Bregman makes them better and gives them a better chance to go deeper into a playoff run.
Well, what's the conclusion then? I mean, he means the same to every team, so what team does that favor?
There is no conclusion at this point. That's why we're still talking about it, you know, a month into it. Look, so, you know, again,
is Toronto involved?
David.
Is Toronto still a part of this? Because I thought it was down to three teams. I thought he was definitely leaving Houston, and it was down to the Cubs against,
Boston and Detroit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think any of these teams are raising their hand and telling the local media or the national guys, we're in it, but we're only in it for 3 years or 4 years. I don't think that suits them, right? It doesn't help them. I just think the Cubs, you know, have been interested for a long time, and they've been smart about it. If you don't get him, okay, you don't get him. You move on. You have Shaw starting at third base, and you're still a good team. I do think that Bregman would help them, but I don't think it's the end of the world if they don't get him.
Well, what about an alternative like Justin Turner? What about delaying Matt Shaw? I know, Bruce, that there's a lot to like about Matt Shaw. 35 games at AAA does concern me a little bit. Justin Turner would ease some of those concerns or at least allay them to a point. What do you think?
Do you want a Mancini situation again?
See, I don't know if that's fair. I don't know if that's fair. I knew that was where you're going to go.
And he's a great player. He's been a great player. He's not a great player anymore. Do you want a guy that had all those accolades and is not necessarily wanting to be a bench guy, backing up your kid at third base and him looking over his shoulder? I mean, I don't know. I don't know if that's where you want to go. He's been an outstanding player. He would answer your question a little bit about maybe playing first base with a right-handed alternative, which they don't really have right now. But I don't know if that's the answer. They'll figure that out. You know, we heard yesterday from Craig Counsell that Shaw is getting the clear-cut runway, and he's going to get a little more latitude than what he's usually comfortable with because they feel the kid is going to hit and he's going to be a good player.
Okay.
Well, no, I mean, there's nothing wrong with feeling that way. I'm just wondering, does Jed's situation alter what would normally be like, let's just bring up a young guy? Or does it, when you start thinking about the number of young players on the roster, the number on the way, do you need more certainty than that?
Well, I think Judge's situation is really great for everybody. It's not great for Judd or for Carter Hawkins, knowing they only have a year left. But it also brings out the best in players many times with 1 year left. And I think, you know, they're doing the same thing. It's like they're trying to survive in jobs that they want to keep doing. I think the farm system has grown under them. I don't think that they've done enough at the major league level. And I think this year, looking at the one-year deals that they have left in right field and as a closer, I think you're seeing them saying, yeah, you know, we're trying to win for multiple reasons, but most of all, we want to continue in these great jobs that we have.
Well, I think, though, that would lead you to believe that there'd be less inclined to play a rookie at third base when they have a veteran option to sign as a backup plan to Bregman. I think that everything about what we heard Sunday from Jed Hoyer, correct if I'm wrong, Bruce, you were there asking great questions, but said and suggested that they're going to look at 2025 as a win now proposition and not necessarily in an eye on developing. You want to have both eyes on winning.
I'm with you, and I agree with you. I think that's a good premise. I think that is the message, and we're sitting here on what, February the 11th, and there's plenty of time to add these veterans, okay? I think they're way in on Bregman. They're just not going to be stupid about it and, you know, give a 6 or 7 year contract because the greatest agent in baseball history wants that money.
Yeah, greatest agent in baseball history is not having a good run lately, though. Yeah, Scott Boras, not been a good couple off seasons for him.
I don't know. I think he got $700 million for somebody.
Okay, that's a good counter. But you have to admit, a year ago at this time, guys were not too happy with Scott Boras. I mean, I guess he's got a wide variety of outcomes. But
I agree. I mean, I do agree with that. There's always been the Boras idea that for the super, superstars, he gets them everything they want and more. And for the superstar, sometimes they settle for less years, cities they don't want to play in. That's the way it goes, and they eventually sometimes part ways. But you cannot argue with the success that he's had over the years.
What do you make of the Assad news? They're waiting for the MRI results, right, to kind of make any declaration on it, but obviously there's something going on here.
Yeah, you know, the bad news is that he has maybe an oblique issue right away out of the start of spring training. The good news is that council let us know yesterday that going to Japan, they're going to probably use multiple starting pitchers in those games. So they're going to go back-to-back with guys, you know, maybe Imanaga starts one game and Tyone finishes that. He comes in right afterwards. So, you know, we're talking about March 18th. Nobody's going to be throwing six innings and 90 pitches at that point. So that's their plan going in. Not everybody on their roster is going to Japan. There's going to be pitchers held back, and Assad's going to be one of them. Hopefully we'll find out today what the MRI said and how long this might be, but you know, those are tricky. They can last a long time.
We know Matthew Boyd and Colin Ray give them pitching depth. We've heard about Jordan Wicks. What about Cade Horton? How come we don't hear as much about Cade Horton? I know he was a guest recently on Inside the Clubhouse. Nice job on that interview. What do you think about Cade Horton this year?
Yeah, I think it's a slower role, you know, because it's 2 years in a row where he's dealt with injuries. But, you know, I saw him on the mound yesterday doing, you know, pitcher's infield practice. You know, he wasn't throwing a lot. He was on the mound, and, you know, they do the simulated throw to home. The coach hits the ball to the shortstop. So he's out there. He's going to throw. We don't know what limitations he's going to have quite yet. The real good news is about Brown and Wicks. Pain-free, injury-free, full out the spring training. Both of them look in tremendous shape. Talked to both over the last 2 days. You won't recognize Wicks. You know, he is not the, let's say, the soft body that he once was anymore coming into spring training. He's really transformed himself, lost over 20 pounds, redistributed, as they say. Look great. And Brown at length talked to myself and some of the other media members about the physical part being clear, the mental part, having gotten over the fact that there's a mass in your shoulder and you don't know what it is. That fear for him, his wife, his family, all behind him.
And where are we at with Nico Hoerner? I thought it was interesting to hear Craig Counsell say that the goal remains being able to get him to step in as a backup shortstop. They got to get him back to a point where, you know, the rehab is good enough from the right forearm surgery that he feels good, not just from second base, but also from shortstop.
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting answer and an odd answer.
Yeah.
I don't know how you guys look at it, because you have a shortstop that has played through most of his career every day with the Cubs. He's missed some games the last 2 years, but he's basically saying, you know, we want him so healthy that he can back up. The other side is you know, what kind of message is that to Swanson? Well, you know, I don't quite understand the answer, but you know, his intent is saying, we want him at 110%, right?
Right.
When he comes back. So that might mean, okay, maybe he's not ready the first two games of the season and he plays the rest of the way. Whatever. I mean, you know, they have the idea that he's still an important player and that he's going to be able to be in that lineup somewhere. I still think the most fascinating thing, guys, about the roster construction of Craig Counsell was the way that he hasn't moved up PCA and the way that he handled Hoerner last year. His idea about OPS first and not looking at stolen bases or speed necessarily being the key to the top of the order.
Good stuff, Bruce.
Great stuff. Thanks, buddy.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
You too.
Enjoy the sun. We're planning on a snowstorm here.
Six inches tomorrow. Wow. Dansby Swanson turns 31 years old today.
6 feet.
Six inches. Yeah.
Okay.
Dansby Swanson's 31 years old. He talked during the Cup convention wanting to play every day still, not rest his body at all. And now then Nico Hoerner's talking about playing backup shortstop.
Well,
that was an odd answer.
It was a curious answer, but I think Bruce got it right. I think he's saying that it's not enough for him to just be able to handle second base and throw to first. He needs to be able to throw across the infield. I think that's all it meant.
Bruce always has the right answer.
All right. We'll be right back. We'll come up with some of our own, right? We're going to keep going.
Mike Florio.
We'll talk to Mike next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Day by day!
Day by day!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
We can't beat, beat!
We can't beat, beat!
Boom, beat, beat!
What's that?
Get
up!
Get up!
NFL insider Mike Florio with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to Mike Florio when he joins us on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. Michael, good morning. How are you?
Doing great. How are you?
Doing well.
We're hanging in there. I love the idea of Aaron Rodgers continuing to play for the Steelers, just because it's the Steelers and they go to the playoffs every year. And maybe they get better at the quarterback position, but then again, maybe he's not the entity he once was. Do you think that he wants any part of the Raiders or Tennessee or whatever places have been rumored? Would that be a much better landing spot?
I think the Steelers make the most sense. They have shifted into a one-year-at-a-time mode, employing veteran quarterbacks while they wait for their next young potential franchise quarterback. It didn't work with Kenny Pickett. They tried to have the baton pass from Ben Roethlisberger to Pickett. After 2 years, Pickett was out. Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, I think, based upon what team owner Art Rooney has said, I know one or the other is going to be gone. Maybe both will be gone. Rodgers makes the most sense. He's better than either guy for 1 year. Justin Fields may have a higher ceiling. And maybe you go Rodgers and Fields. I don't know. Fields may have opportunities elsewhere. But Rodgers makes sense because he's still got gas in the tank. He still can throw it. And I think Mike Tomlin, one of the rare coaches who can maybe nudge him the right way. Tomlin has done a great job over the years of controlling difficult personalities. And few are more difficult, frankly, than the delicate genius known as Aaron Rodgers. So I think it makes the most sense for him. It makes the most sense for them. And it allows him to finish his career with something better than what we've seen the last two seasons. That's why the Raiders don't make any sense. Why would you want to go there and have another non-playoff season, 5 wins, 6 wins, whatever? Why would you want to do that? Just retire. If you're going to come back, you want to go to a team that's got a chance to compete, and the Steelers do.
Mike, which was more surprising to you, the strength of the Eagles or how weak the Chiefs played?
The strength of the Eagles, absolutely, because that influenced what the Chiefs did. Although there are some curious things that you look at. I still want to hear why Patrick Mahomes didn't throw the ball to Xavier Worthy when he was in single coverage on the first play from scrimmage after the opening touchdown of the game. They were on their own 33-yard line. Worthy went right to left in motion before the snap. And he had about a half step. You can see it from the all-22 shot. It didn't come up the way it maybe could have or should have during the broadcast. They credited Mahomes for checking down. I question why he didn't let it fly, because if you get a counterpunch in that moment, you could see in the game, he started into the motion like he was going to do it. I'd love to know why he didn't, because if you could get that 7-7, if you can get that uppercut to match the right hook you just took, that could change the vibe of the whole game. I don't know that it would have mattered, though, because that defensive line was dominant. And we're reminded once every 5 years or so, if you just have an overwhelming pass rush that can get home with four guys, you're probably going to win the Super Bowl. If you can get to the Super Bowl with that team, you're probably going to win it.
Yeah, I thought that the dominance on the line of scrimmage was the story of the game, no doubt, Mike. And, you know, it was pretty interesting to see the way that game broke down. It just got out of control. And really, you know, you see a quarterback get sacked, he gets sacked twice, then he throws a pick. We see that all the time in the league. It's very, that's a real measure of a quarterback. We don't see it all the time with Mahomes. And it was honestly the second pick where he was on the shadow of his own goalpost and he gets hit as he's throwing, and that seemed like the game breaker. Once that happened, I didn't have any faith for them to be able to come back in any way. Down 17 is bad, But at least if you get to the locker room, maybe you can do something. They clearly couldn't, and it didn't matter.
And I'm glad you mentioned the second pick, that it was influenced by the fact that he got hit, because he didn't get hit by a defensive player. He got hit by his own player because Josh Sweat drove Joe Tooney into Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. And this is an example of a play that never shows up on the stat sheet. There's no statistic that would reflect defensive end shoving left tackle into quarterback, causing him to throw an interception. Now, Sims calls it F the play up. And, you know, it requires study of each play. But if you have a guy who just completely blows up the interior of the line or crushes the quarterback around the end, it Fs the play up and it lets somebody else make an interception or recover a fumble or force a fumble or get a sack. And it never shows up. And I say that because Josh Sweat should have been the MVP at a Super Bowl. Mm. I don't like the way they vote on it. Number one, there aren't enough people. Not that I want to vote. If chosen, I will not run. And if elected, I will not serve. I don't want to vote, but I think they should give it at least overnight, because I think I think people didn't know which guy from the defense to vote for, so they just went with the default in Jalen Hurts. And I don't want to take any away from Hurts, but from a game like that, you got to have the MVP come from the defensive side of the ball, like it was Richard Dent in Super Bowl 20. It's got to be a defensive player, and Sweat deserved it. And 2.5 sacks plus that forced interception caused by his dominance. Tooney should have been the MVP.
Can't disagree with that.
And he had 5 quarterback pressures, too.
Yeah, so that's pretty great good. Game. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, guys.
That is Mike Florio. Great stuff, as always.
You could wait till the morning after, but then how would they get to Disney World?
We're gonna bring in Clay Harbor next. We'll talk to him. He was in Philly for the big celebration. We'll get a chance to pick his brain. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.